This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, I almost didn't have any Celtic music in, but I sent this to Ethan right before the show started because my friend Charles Waltz is in this band. These are the Young Dubliners, and I'm kind of disappointed. I've seen the Young Dubs several times. They don't really come to St. Louis very often. They're a great Celtic rock band, and they're coming to SIU Edwardsville on my birthday, on April 13th, but I'm going to be in Chicago that weekend, so unfortunately I can't see. And I texted Chaz like 4 months ago. I'm like, hey, you're finally coming to St. Louis. He's the fiddle player in the Young Dubs, and this is kind of interesting for St. Louis folks, especially if you remember some of the KC classics. Charles was in the band Shooting Star from Kansas City. He was the violin player and there's not a lot of rock bands that have violins, so Shooting Star in the early 80s kind of became known for that, and he's been with the Young Dubs for a couple of decades now. They tour around the planet. It's a really, really good Celtic rock band. So if you'd like to see them, they're coming to SIU Edwardsville in just a couple of weeks. We have Suze News coming up here in a couple of minutes. Brad Young after that to explain some of the things that are happening in relation to Mahmoud Khalil, the former Columbia University student that is in federal detention. We have a few other stories to toss out to Brad. Cusumano a little later. We're going to talk March Madness. The first round begins Thursday morning, but kind of the first round begins tomorrow night and Wednesday because you have the play-in games, Ethan. But here's something that I had either not been familiar with or had just completely forgotten. But our producer, Ethan Hannaford, who's really stepping up his game this week because Fred is in Japan, you have an amazing tournament bracket story from last year.
I do, and I'll just go ahead and preface with last year was the least amount of college basketball that I had watched in years. So there is no sort of a connection as to if you watch a lot of college basketball,
knowledge
you can have
know.
A good
yeah.
bracket.
There just isn't. I mean, this Julie was, Tristan continuously mm-hmm. wins here.
It was unbelievable, right?
It was based on my limited knowledge and just a couple of good hunches. I finished second in the nation in Yahoo's March Madness bracket selections.
Is
like
nuts.
For the whole thing?
In the whole country.
Okay, what did you win for that?
Absolutely nothing. Where's that wrong buzzer at?
What?
Yeah, that's what
oh,
I
how
want.
Could you have a bracket that's that good?
I was one. So they did it based off of points. So like for first round wins, you get only like 2 points. And then it basically doubles each round. I think finished 3 points behind first place. Okay. So if I get like, if I were to have gotten a second round pick, another second round pick correct, I would have had $25,000 in my back pocket. Unfortunately, they didn't have a prize for second place, so I was jonesing a little bit. But
man.
I have to brag. I picked the champion correct. I had both finalists, all Final Four teams, including 11 seed North Carolina State. And I think I picked, 7 of 8 Elite Eight teams. So I was
but
all
wait
right.
a second. You're a sports-oriented person. You didn't go into this flying blind. I mean, there was some
knowledge
there.
It wasn't like, flip a coin 50-50, but I did not watch. I watched little to no college basketball last year going into, you keep up, you look at the rankings and that here and there. But I mean, for me to pick all of the upsets that I did, the only reason that I picked North Carolina State to go as far as they did is because I watched them upset Duke in the conference tournament.
There you go.
And that was it.
You pick a hot team. I'll tell you who I'd pick to win the whole damn thing right now is Florida.
I picked Florida to win it all as well. I'm pulling for my Spartans, Michigan State, but I have them getting defeated in the Final Four against the Gators
Sue, I mentioned this last week. You know, if you're a fan of Mizzou, it's long chronicled that we've had big failures in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Some of this goes back to the 80s when I was covering the team, whether it was Xavier or Northern Iowa. Some of it's more recent with Norfolk State. But they just seem to be one of those teams that gets there and then they cannot get to the Sweet 16. So they played Drake, and Drake's a very good team. They won 30-something games.
30 games. 30-3.
And they won the Missouri Valley Conference tournament here just about a week ago. Well, it was last weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are picking Drake as an upset because they're such a hot team. My experience, and I'm not saying that it's not possible because I've seen my team blank the bed so
many times.
Anything
can happen.
Anything can happen. But usually, let's look at UNCW, University of North Carolina. I have no idea what that is. What is that?
Wilmington.
Okay, there you go. Mm. And they're a team that's in there, everyone. So they're playing Texas Tech, a 14 seed. Typically, a 14 doesn't beat a 3. Could it happen? These 12-5 matchups are always interesting. Colorado State takes on Memphis.
I picked Colorado State.
Yeah, they have a pretty good
You've
program.
Got to pick a
good
couple coach. Of those yep. upsets, otherwise it doesn't work.
Memphis
either.
Is also without their best player, so that'll have an impact as well.
I mean, I'm looking at these 15. Tennessee's not going to lose to Wofford, right?
Tennessee has a cakewalk to the Elite
McNeese State, people like them, they're taking on Clemson. I heard some folks pick.
Who?
But my point, McNeese State. I think they're down in Lake Charles, Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken. But here's what my point is overall, is that the upsets typically come from not the ones where people say, hey, that's going to be an upset, because that's why there's surprises. And sometimes you get that first day, like on Thursday, with a bunch of different upsets, and you go into Friday in most of the fair, or it could be flipped.
I have to mention one final thing here. I think it is absolutely hilarious that Mizzou is in the same region, the West region of the bracket. Now, things would have to go really well for multiple teams for them to play either of these teams, but they're in the same region as their biggest rivals, Kansas and Arkansas, as well as Norfolk State, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, I didn't. Did Norfolk State actually make
it? They got in. They're the 16. They play Florida. So it's not like that would happen.
Okay. Goodbye.
But well, it is
done.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. They're, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if they beat Florida, then Florida
now
will have the worst
upset.
Game ever
yes.
in their history. All right, let's do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, on this day in history, since it is St. Patrick's Day, 1,564 years ago in 461, St. Patrick passed away. He was the patron saint of Ireland. He wasn't even born Irish. He was actually kidnapped. He was a kidnapped slave from Britain. And the first St. Patrick's Day parade wasn't celebrated until 1762 in America.
Wait, what year did you say?
When he was around, when he didn't, 461.
Holy cow!
So it's an ancient thing, but not celebrated until probably Boston would be my guess.
That's crazy.
In America
or Chicago, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Doesn't Chicago have the second highest Irish population outside
the Green River?
The Green River.
It's always my favorite time when they dye the river green. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's green anyway.
That's true.
You don't need to
just
dye.
Just not quite as bright. Yes. And on this day in history, 127 years ago, Irish-born John Holland, now this is in 1898, invented the modern submarine for the U.S. military. His sub submerged off Staten Island for 3 hours, and that was the beginning of the submarine. And I guess they put him in here just because he's Irish. Okay, and since it's St. Patrick's Day, we have to hear Jim Gaffigan, the whitest man on the planet.
I do know I have some Irish ancestry, but apparently the Irish didn't keep great records because, well, draw your own conclusion. Some tells me they weren't busy sunbathing. I'm Irish, but I have blonde hair. Supposedly the only reason the Irish have blonde or red hair is because the Vikings invaded, pillaged, and probably other stuff. Those Vikings, the Scandinavians, I don't know if you've been to Sweden, it's like a whole country of Scarlett Johansson's. If I was in Ireland at that time, I would have been, oh no, some Viking lady's coming to pillage me. I guess I'll hide on this bed covered in rose petals. hopefully she can help me put together that table.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. I do like Jim Gaffigan.
I do, too. Oof. Google Trends looked at the top green food each state Googled more than other states this year. Some specific to St. Patrick's Day. Some are just green foods you might eat anytime. Shamrock cookies, shamrock cakes, grasshopper pies. Mint brownies are big in the Midwest. Now, that's the... I was wondering, Mark, you could perhaps... into brownies.
Mm. Uh-huh. I made cookies over the weekend. I keep thinking I'm going to wander into, like, there's this cookie crumble cake that I want to make that's in one of my...
Cake is a different beast.
Well, it's like a... I don't know. Yeah, I guess it is a cake. Well, I'm thinking of expanding my baking.
Okay, all right.
Tendencies.
Well, try that.
But I did the... here, I'll bring some in tomorrow. I did the chocolate on chocolate ones, but I'm going to do the chocolate... with white chocolate chips tonight. Becky's going to Mid-Missouri with Alexa for some spring break stuff this week. Of course, the cruise that I booked on the wrong week is next week.
Right.
But I'm sending cookies to Howard County, so I'll bring some in tomorrow.
Oh, that's nice. They also have savory dishes, green spaghetti in Arizona, pesto in Missouri. That actually sounds really good. Had I thought of that in time, I would have done that. All right, there's more out about the Gene Hackman situation. Did you guys see this today?
I did see a headline, but I didn't dig in.
Okay, first of all, they found that his wife called the doctor the day after they had figured she'd passed away. So they had to redo the timeline.
All right.
So she had called on the 12th. So that changes everything. And Gene Hackman had an estate worth, do you want to guess? Ethan, do you know?
I don't know. That's tough. He didn't work a lot later in his career,
I know,
so I have no idea.
But he was in some really good...
I'm going to guess $25
million. Mark?
$150 million.
Right in the middle, 80.
80, okay.
It was worth $80 million, and his... Okay, this is the deal. His will leaves it all to his wife, Betsy. And it makes no mention of his three kids from a previous marriage. But since Betsy passed away before him, that potentially renders the will invalid.
Oh, that's going to be a mess.
Meaning the kids would be next in line to inherit it. But Betsy had a will, too. And it left everything to Gene with the provision that if he passed away first, it would go into a trust and then to charity.
That's probably what happens.
Right?
But don't you think this is going to be a big battle?
Oh, yeah.
Big legal battle.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. But it seems it's reasonable, though. If he passed away first, their combined estate would have gone to her, and she would have put it in a trust for charity. So those kids have an uphill battle.
Yikes.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. Okay, you know those songs? I love these things. You know those songs that seem to pop up every other TV show and movie? If you watch a movie and it comes up all the time, some of them are not as prevalent as you think they are. But we have the top six songs that have appeared the most in stuff that you've seen. Okay, I hear this all the time. Tied for number six is Chumbawamba with Tub Thumping. I feel like I hear that all the time. 39 film and TV appearances. Same with September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Fade Into You by Maisie Starr, 41 times in film and TV. Fix You by Coldplay is played a lot. 42 film and TV appearances.
Wow.
At Last by Etta James. I love her. 49 film and TV appearances. Okay, Mark, this is number two. And I don't think I hear this that much. Maybe it's just not the movies I'm watching. Salt and Pepper.
I have one that I would add to this list because it's been in a lot of films and TV, but I don't think it's number one.
What do you think it? Which?
Stones.
No. Didn't make it to the top. Which one?
I think Gimme Shelter. They use Gimme Shelter in a lot.
Yeah. It's not in the top 10.
Okay.
And this is number one. It's Montel Jordan, 52.
Really?
Yeah. 52 film and TV appearances.
Wow. I wonder what, you know, because you have to pay rights for all this music, I wonder what that in and of itself, just
that's
the music rights
question
from the movies would have prevented from. And by the way, if you were to tell me or play this song and say, who is it? I've never been able to tell you. I know the song, but I.
Right, right. You would not be able
Montel
to say.
Montel Jordan, isn't that the talk show host?
No.
No.
That's
no, I'm
not
kidding.
The.
Right.
For two.
Montel.
And we have a little bit of sound for this. I didn't know this guy existed. Okay, the world's biggest Big Mac fan hit another milestone. 71, this is mind-boggling, 71-year-old Don Gorski has been eating two Big Macs a day for 53 years. He just ate his 35,000th Big Mac on Saturday. Here's Don with the eating record-breaking Big Mac, and there was a crowd to see it happen. Here's what he said.
You better appreciate this, because like I say, I had to slow down to one a day for 3 days here. driving me nuts. So I guess it's definitely 35,000. It's no more, no less. I've counted every single one. Excuse me.
Wow. So he slowed down so he can hit it on that particular day?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
This is the most American thing ever for there to be a crowd there for this. And the last thing I'll say, the fact that he made it to 71 having eaten that many is pretty amazing.
I just would get kind of
bored.
Like, yeah, I don't have, like, at a certain point, maybe a lot of people do this, but I kind of go in and out with things that I eat sometimes, and then you say, okay, I'm kind of sick of that, and then maybe it comes back. But I think I would be pretty sick of Big Macs.
Yeah, I'm not a special sauce person, so I would have to scrape that off every day, twice a day. Yeah, I like lettuce cheese. I don't like the pickles.
Onion?
No. I'll take the onion, sesame seed bun, all of it.
Yeah, so I'm more a quarter pounder
same.
If I'm going to McDonald's because of that. Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh. Don says his first Big Mac was May 17th, 1972.
That's amazing.
That is nuts.
That really is.
Imagine your first love being Big Macs and your second being your wife.
Is he saying that he's never missed a day?
Oh, I don't think he said that. He's
okay,
just
right.
Made it to 35,000.
Okay, because like I would think that if you were sick or you're not feeling well, that you would not.
It's also expensive. That adds up over time, too.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Oh, I had not known this. Shell Oil Company got the name Shell because when it started in 1833, it was a store that sold imported seashells. What?
That's a good one.
It didn't even get into the oil business for another 50 years. And that's Shell Oil.
There you go. There's your random fact from Monday afternoon. Brad Young's coming up to talk about the legalities of deporting someone who is a citizen, not a American citizen, but a green card holder. That's coming up next. Cusimano at 45.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Here are the Young Dubs, the Young Dubliners. They're coming to SIU Edwardsville on the 13th of April. I think it's the 12th. It's that weekend. Governor Mike Kehoe, the 58th governor of the state of Missouri, is going to join us in the next hour here on 97.1 FM Talk. Dwayne Patterson, our friend from hotair.com and the host of the Dwayne's World podcast at 525. We still have Cusimano coming up a little bit later this hour to talk some sports. The Blues had a good weekend. We have Mizzou, Illinois, SIUE in the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about all that coming up with Frank. Right now, we have Brad Young, chief legal analyst at 97.1 FM Talk, a partner with Harris, Dahl, Fisher, and Young. How are you this afternoon, Mr. Brad Young? Let's see if I can get the right thing up here. Testing,
yeah,
testing,
well,
testing.
Yeah, can
there
you hear
you
me now?
I can.
Can you hear me now?
All right, let's start with the important stuff. Mizzou as a number 6 seed against a pretty hot team from the Missouri Valley Conference in Drake. What does Brad Young say?
Brad Young says Mizzou, probably a 10 to 15 point win. I mean, yeah, Drake has been hot lately, but if you look at when Mizzou has been on, which has not been the last few games, their offense is unstoppable. And their offensive rebounding has been incredibly high. So I do. I think it's not just a hometown prediction, but I do see see Mizzou.
I'm with you. That's what I say as well. All right, let's talk about some of the things that are going on here with Mahmoud Khalil. But also, they're trying to get rid of some of these other, you know, students that back terrorists. Here's Tom Homan.
People of this country mandated President Trump deal with the border crisis, deal with illegal immigration, and deal with illegal alien crime. And that's exactly what we did. We removed terrorists. That should be a celebration. We removed terrorists from this country. And I stand by what the president did. I support 100%.
So in Tom Holman's also kind of talking about how they do this.
How do you determine whether somebody is a gang member? What criteria do you use?
To various investigations. A lot of ways we do it, law enforcement central. I'm not going to share all that with you, but you know, whether through social media, through the activities, through their criminal records here and abroad. So, you know, this was done in very... The review of this issue was at the highest level I've seen. And I think, again, I stand by everything we did this weekend. And I think the president keeping his promise to American people.
Now, we have, Brad, a lot of people on the left and legacy media very outraged that Tom Homan and the Trump administration are deporting migrants who aren't here legally and are also criminals outside of that because they've raped or beaten or maimed or something like that. But that's the side that they're falling on right now.
Well, my take on this is probably going to be different from a lot of conservatives. And let me tell you why. I'm a free speech guy. And let's look at this. During the entire Occupy movement on our campuses recently, I was very much pro arresting them, not because of what they said, but because of the occupation of private property. Was based upon speech. It was based upon essentially the taking of private property and the preventing of other students, namely Jewish students, from going to classes and thereby denying them of their property right to attend classes if they paid their tuition. But in this instance, let me tell you why I fall on the side of Mahmoud Khalil. Because at this point, he is in this country as a green card person. He has a green card. Meaning he is married to a U.S. citizen and he's qualified for a green card, meaning he's in the queue, so to speak, to be processed for citizenship. When he was arrested, and this has been confirmed by Marco Rubio and other officials in the White House, he was arrested based upon what he said, not based upon what he did. Now, what he said was reprehensible. He was in favor of exterminating the Jews. He's in favor of Hamas, but there's no evidence that he actually did anything like organizing with terrorists, like plotting some violence against Israeli or Jewish students. So if he's being deported as a person with a green card who actually has status in this country as a green card holder, right now he's not been convicted of anything.
Yeah.
The only thing he's done is that he has said things that are reprehensible, that are racist, that are biased, but under our Constitution, the First Amendment doesn't apply just to U.S. citizens. It applies to everyone.
Okay.
And so if he's going to be deported based on what he said, I have a problem with that.
This is a tricky area, and I understand that. And let's talk a little bit where I think there might be differences here. And I should at least get it on the record as saying, and Brad, you and I have talked about this before, I've never been, for example, against flag burning. Just bear with me here, because while I think it's reprehensible, to your point, it is allowed under the First Amendment. And I have always been opposed to laws that would try to criminalize that because of the Constitution. But in this particular case, I do think it's different because of this Columbia University against, you know, apartheid group. Because this isn't a group that simply opposes war and occupation. It specifically endorses violence as the pathway to liberation. You had a year ago a student at Columbia University telling an audience that was watching him on Instagram, be grateful that I'm just not going out and murdering Zionists. So I understand free speech, but I think this crosses the line when you endorse violence. And that was an actual quote from CUAD. Violence is the only path forward. Mahmoud is a guy who endorses all of this. So this is a slippery slope, but where you have a difference is a green card holder that's only here because of those circumstances. There is no right to be here. I'm okay with booting him out.
Well, let me, and I'm not arguing on behalf of a terrorist, okay? I'm looking at this from a legal perspective. And if you go back to, I think it's 1968, Brandenburg versus Ohio, an individual was arrested for burning a cross, which is one of the most reprehensible things you can do. The Supreme Court said he could not be convicted of that because it wasn't directed at any specific individual, but blacks in general. And so that standard that's been set by the Supreme Court and upheld time and time and time again is that you can advocate violence generally, but you cannot advocate violence specifically. So, for example, if Mahmoud Khalil was advocating for the extermination of all Jews in the world, under the Constitution, that's okay. It's reprehensible. I have to keep giving those disclaimers, but right. I will. But legally, it's okay. Now, if he says, we want to exterminate the Feinbergs, and here is their address, that is different because it's specific, not general.
So now you have another case of a doctor. I don't know if you've heard Dr. Ashwa Alawia, who's a Lebanese-born H-1B visa holder. She's a kidney transplant specialist. She is a professor at Brown University. She went to Lebanon, and she's now being detained when she flew back. And the reason was is because she told the Border Patrol agents that while visiting Lebanon, she attended the funeral of Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah because she supported him. But here again, this is a tough situation, Brad, but I think you would agree that under the Constitution, probably just attending a funeral of someone that is reprehensible and supports violence does not qualify as something that could be, you know, cause for deporting someone. Now, look, I'd rather kick her ass out of the country, but I understand your points about the constitutional principles here. That's why these cases are tough.
They are tough. But listen, I like I said, I'm a free speech guy. And when you're a free speech person, that means that it's not the content of the speech. So if he was out there advocating that terrorists should be killed, okay, no one would be talking about deporting him, right? Even if it was the exact same circumstances, if he said terrorists everywhere should be killed, okay, we're not going to deport him. But he says Israelis and Jews everywhere should be killed, and now we're going to deport him. That is making the deportation dependent on the content of the speech. And I have a real problem with that. Even when it's speech that I find disgusting and reprehensible, it's still protected. Because here's the thing. If we can allow the content of speech to be the basis for actions of the government, then the next time a progressive gets in the White House and they say, well, if you support the biblical view of heterosexual marriage, that's reprehensible and we're going to deport you. To me, again, that's the same type of situation, even though the obviously the circumstances are different, but we cannot take government action based upon the content of speech. That is a problem.
So do you, on the situation with the doctor here, by the way, she's a Lebanese citizen and she has a visa here. She can support, my opinion is she can really support whoever she wants, but I don't think we should be obligated to accept her if, you know, she supports terrorists. And being a doctor should be irrelevant to this, but on your point, I get it. I don't know where this actually manifests itself. The Supreme Court's going to have to make a decision here eventually, right?
Well, but let's look at, and here's how we can play with the facts to see how situations are different. If the hospital where that doctor works says, we are not going to allow her to be a surgeon on staff here because she holds racist beliefs, that's a private company, the hospital. They can do that. They're not the government. So if they want to say, we don't want her, and then she loses her job, and then if she's unemployed, she no longer qualifies for having a visa, I have no problem with that chain of events. But if we go back to Mahmoud Khalil, at this point, he hasn't been convicted of any crime whatsoever. And if he's convicted of a crime, and then we send him and deport him because he's now a convicted criminal, I'm cool with that too. But right now, if we're going to deport him based only on what he said, then to me, that's a problem.
But why should he be afforded as someone who is a green card holder, you know, the same treatment that someone who's not a green card holder should have here with due process?
Good point. Because if you're a green card holder at every stage of the visa process, you gain more and more rights with the culmination of being a citizen. A green card holder is one step away from being a U.S. citizen. And so you go through a process of being, you're here on a tourist visa. Okay. You have no rights whatsoever. You're here on a work visa. You have a greater level of rights. And when you have a green card, because he's employed here and he's also married to a U.S. citizen, that's the next step behind or below being a U.S. citizen. So at every level, you gain more rights as a citizen when you go through that chain. And just being deported without being convicted for any crime, yeah, to me, that violates the First Amendment.
All right, we're going to see where this actually takes us. They're testing things. There's no doubt about that, Brad, right? You would admit that. Oh, they're pushing the limits here.
You know what? A lot of times, I settled a case last week, and I offered them next to nothing on a case because I represented the defendant, and we eventually settled in the middle. And the point being is there's no problem staking out positions. But at the end of the day, the courts here are going to rule in favor of Mahmoud Khalil. I'm like 97.2% sure of that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that, just legally. Thank you. Appreciate it, Brad. I hope you're right about Mizzou, too. We'll talk later on.
Counting on it.
All right. Frank Cusimano's coming up. Governor Kehoe after 5 o'clock. I used to work with Ryan Recker over on the other side of the building, and thinking about him in a woman's robe is not an image that I'm comfortable with here this afternoon. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
That's fair.
Hey, Governor Kehoe coming up after the top of the hour. Sue, if we take you back to Friday's broadcast when Frank Cusimano joined us, I'm pretty damn sure that he telegraphed this whole matchup between Mizzou and Drake. I mean, you basically called it on Friday, Frank. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but boy, it makes for a really fun Thursday night 6:30 matchup, because it's two teams that are completely opposite. One wants to play slow, one wants to play fast. You know, one team has seven guys from the state, but they went to Northwest Missouri State. And then you have this, you know, this team put together portal-wise with all these McDonald's All-Americans with Mizzou. I can't think of a more contrasting styles for both teams.
So I made my prediction. I went on the record with my prediction. This will not be mentioned again on Friday if the prediction is not correct. You know that. You know how that works, right? So yeah. I say this. The Tigers by double digits. F this upset talk. They're in the upper echelon of the SEC, and this team is in the MVC. So there you go. That's my prediction. I'm holding firm.
Yeah, and I'm with you there, and I do love the Drake story. I did one of their games on radio. I think they're special, but here's the thing. If Mark Mitchell is healthy, which I think he will be, Drake has never seen an athlete that's 6'9", that runs like him, that gets to the rim like him. And their biggest strength, this Bennett Sturts, well, he's going to be guarded by a first-team all-SEC defender, Anthony Robinson. And when Robinson gets a little bit tired, then you're going to throw Tony Perkins, who's 23 and a former all-Big Ten performer from Iowa. So if you stop Sturts, you win the game, and I think they can do that.
This is what I like to hear, Frank Cusimano. I love that. That's excellent. And by the way, let's talk a little bit, because you have great representation. Illinois, I think, stayed strong as a sixth seed. SIU Edwardsville is a great story moving into the weekend as well.
Yes, and I had Coach Baroni on earlier today, and it is a great story. You know, he took the job 6 years ago. It was going nowhere. They had like a streak of like 12 losing seasons in 14 years, and Baroni turned it around. He's got this special player, Mark. It's a great story. Rayshon Taylor, he's had three ACLs, and Coach Baroni had to tell him each time. It was one of the most painful things he ever had to endure, and this kid just said, I'm coming back. And he was the player of the year in the OVC and the best player in the history of SIU Edwardsville. So really rooting for them, although it's a tall task facing the number one seed, Houston.
All right, let's talk a little Blues hockey. They had a pretty good weekend and are back on track when it comes to the potential playoffs.
Yeah, moneypuck.com, I'm sure it's a website you subscribe to and always go to, now has their chances at 37%. And, you know, I'd say like a month ago it was like 6%. So they are actually tied for the final playoff spot as we speak, although they played one more game than Vancouver. But none of this matters. What matters is they are playing their best hockey of the year. I mean, even when they lose, they outplay the opponent, and maybe it's the goaltender not having a great day. But I just love the way they're playing. It was Braden Schenn last night. They celebrated a Braden Schenn night last night. They celebrated his 1,000 games in the league. And what does he do 40 seconds in? He scores a goal, and then a little bit later he gets in a fight. It was just a great night of hockey.
Well, I guess we got to start talking a little bit more about baseball, because we're getting pretty close here to the real thing, about a week and 3 days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I love this. When a pitcher gets rocked in the spring, well, I was just working on something, and then if he pitches well, I'm ready. Like, I'd like to have Sonny Gray have one good outing. His ERA is 14, and he gives up. You know, he's given up 6 home runs in 9 2/3 innings already. He hasn't pitched well at all. But the good news is today, Eric Fetty went 5 scoreless and looked good. But the story of spring training 2025 is the emergence of Victor Scott. If this can continue into the regular season, then the Cardinals had their center fielder for the next maybe 10 years. He had a home run today, he's hitting .371, and he's one of the best defensive center fielders in the game.
So do we think he's going to start over Ciani?
At this point? Yes.
Yeah, okay. I thought I had read in the other direction, so I was misinformed on that. That's awesome. That's some optimism, right?
Yeah. Oh, and there's something there's every characteristic this guy has, being humble, being dynamic, being so fast. He's just an unbelievable kid. St. Louis could fall in love with him like they once fell in love with Vince Coleman.
I love it. Thank you, Frank. That's encouraging. We'll talk on Friday afternoon from our fish fry. We're going to Assumption Paris on Mattis Road in South County. We'll talk to you then, hopefully after some good NCAA news and Blues news as well. We'll talk then.
I'll be in Wichita reporting after a Mizzou victory.
Oh, that's awesome. So you are heading over to Wichita. That's great news.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thank you, Frank.
Alrighty, take care.
That's great. We'll hook up with my friend Chris Trevino, who's on the Tigers broadcast crew, Ethan, probably tomorrow, right? We're trying to get a hold of one of the guys from Drake,
who's on the
radio side there.
Trying to connect with someone over there, and then we got something in the works with Joe Pott from SIUE as well.
We're going to talk a lot of hoops this week as we head into the NCAA tournament. I'm kind of bummed, like, there's nothing on tonight. Is there a NIT? When does that start?
Because
tomorrow
it's
the
Monday,
play-in games.
So the play-in games start tomorrow. I don't believe the NIT is underway yet. I think tonight is just – tonight's calm before the storm.
I don't like that. I like action.
You'll survive one night. You will be okay for one night.
I will say, though, and we talked about this earlier, the way that they, you know, do these play-in games, they have been – some of those have been really exciting over the years. So tomorrow night, Wednesday night, could really be a lot of fun heading into the weekend. Governor Kehoe is on deck.